morning we want to consider verses 4, 5, and 6. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door. My bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The Shulamite, the bride of the Song of Solomon, had enjoyed her time of communion and fellowship while in the garden with her beloved. We know that from verse 1 of this chapter. She had sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to her taste. But her desire to be with her beloved and to bask in his love was short-lived. Her heart quickly grew cold, so that when he came knocking on the door of her house the very next day, she was reluctant to rise up and open and admit her beloved. He stood patiently knocking on the door all night until, as we read in verse 2, his head was filled with dew and his locks with the drops of the night. The knocking did not succeed in rousing her. And so he begins to plead with her. And it is the voice of her beloved that she hears outside the door saying, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled." But she, half awake, yet, as it were, still half asleep, could not rouse up herself from her slumbers, and began to make excuses why she could not go to the door. She said, "I have put off my coat. How will I put it on again? I have put off my shoes. How from my feet, how shall I defile them?" She had become so lethargic that even to put on her coat and to put on her shoes was too much to ask of her. And so she slumbered on, not willing to open the door and to admit her beloved, the one who loved her with all of his heart. This sums up for us our view of the slumbering bride of Christ, which we considered last week. For the Shulamite pictures for us the Christian who is in a state of spiritual slumber and drowsiness. Last week we noticed how quickly this slumber creeps over the soul One day we can be in the garden enjoying sweet communion with Christ as Peter was. And a few hours later, we're so spiritually drowsy that we will not respond to the voice of our beloved. And where before our souls would be thirsting after our beloved, yet soon that thirst has gone. Dear Christian, how often have we been amazed at how quickly our thirst for communion with Christ leaves us. We have been amazed and surprised, perhaps at times, how quickly our hearts grow cold. One week we can be walking with God, and the very next week we can be found following Him afar off. But you know the saddest part of all? The saddest part of all, certainly as seen here in the Shulamite, she was content to have it that way. She was so comfortable in her slumbers that she was reluctant to rise up, put on her coat, put on her shoes and open the door to admit her beloved. Believer, can you not see perhaps yourself today in this bride, in this Shulamite? It is a good exercise for us each day to examine our own hearts. It is a good exercise for us to examine our hearts and see how close we are living to the Lord. Do we love Him today as much as we loved Him in years gone by? Or are we like the believers at Ephesus who had left their first love? And their love for Christ had indeed grown cold. Is your soul in a state of spiritual slumber? And are you content with it being that way? Are you content with that slumber? There is a slowness to respond to the voice of Christ when He speaks. There is apathy when He calls you to come and sit with Him in the place of prayer. There is a spiritual drowsiness upon your soul. As sad is the plight of that Christian who is content to have it so. What can be done? What can the beloved do to arouse his bride from her slumbers? If the knocking upon the door did not arouse her, if the sound of his sweet and tender voice did not arouse her, what then would it take to arouse his bride and bring her to the door and cause her to admit him? That once again they may sit and commune and fellowship with each other. Last week, as we've said, we considered the slumbering bride of Christ. Today I want to look at the stirring up of the bride of Christ. God willing, next week we shall look at the seeking bride of Christ. Regarding her being stirred from her slumbers, I want us to notice first of all the beloved revealing himself to his bride. Look there at verse 4. The bride is speaking. She's lying there upon a bed of ease. Her beloved has been knocking outside the door all night. It is now the morning. He has even called out to her, "Open to me, my sister, my spouse, my love, my undefiled," using sweet terms of love and endearment, but still she would not be aroused. Now she says, "My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him." And so here the beloved reveals himself by putting in his hand by the lock and the door. That's how it is in the East, in those homes. Someone who from the outside could easily open the door if he knew how to work the latch. And he could put in his hand by the hole in the door and lift up the latch and admit himself. And so when the bride saw the hand of her beloved, she says, "My bowels were moved for him." So here she is stirred at last. Regarding this revealing of the beloved to his bride, the appearance of the hand of the beloved at the door, we see that it may be seen first of all as a sign. It was certainly a sign to the Shulamite that her beloved was still there. It was certainly a sign that he had still, with patience, remained at the door until the early morning. Is that not a wonder in itself? That the beloved should stand there so patiently, waiting for his wife, waiting for his bride to respond. And dear Christian, is it not a mark of the patience of Christ that the Lord still waits for us to respond to his voice? He's waiting for us to come to him, that we together might sit down and commune with each other. We have treated him so roughly, this tenderest of all friends. We have ignored his invitations to come to him and speak with him. We turn a deaf ear to his call for a closer walk with God. Is it not a wonder that he has not departed from us long ago? But he's still there. And so this appearance of the beloved's hand at the door was a sign that he was still there. It was a sign of his grace. He has knocked. He has called. Now he goes a step further. He puts in his hand to the latch to indicate that he wants to enter and be with his bride. And after the way she has treated him, is this not a sign of the grace of her beloved? Grace as he continues to show a desire to commune with her. grace as he shows he is prepared to open the door himself and come in and sit with her. Grace. After all the unkindness done to him, he still loves her and longs to fellowship with her. That is grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. And this bride did not merit such favor. Rather, she deserved her beloved to leave her after the way she had treated him. Dear child of God, have you and I not received many, many tokens of good from the gracious hand of our blessed Lord? When we have wandered from Him, when we have strayed away from Him, when our hearts have grown cold towards Him, when we have become indifferent and fallen into a state of spiritual slumber and drowsiness, that we do not respond to His voice, is it not a mark of His grace that from His gracious hand He has still bestowed upon us tokens of good and tokens of His grace? Every day we receive from His hand marks of His love and His grace and His goodness. Is that not enough then to stir us from our slumbers? Is that not enough to get us up from the state of spiritual drowsiness and run to the door and say, Lord Jesus, come in and welcome. I want to sit with Thee. I want to talk with Thee. Is that not enough? Or are we content to sit on in our state of spiritual slumber when the Lord Jesus says, I will come in to you and I will sup with you and you with me? It's a sign of His grace, this appearance of His hand at the door. The sign not only of His grace, it was also a sign of His grief. You see, the beloved had been offended. None of us like to be offended. Some people can be easily offended. But the bride had at last offended her beloved. Because it says here, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door. Those words may be rendered another way. They may be rendered, my beloved withdrew his hand from the hole of the door. In other words, the bride, what did she see? She saw the hand of her beloved reaching in to open the door, and then she saw her beloved withdraw his hand. He had been offended at her reluctance to admit him. He had been offended by her refusal to rise up and open the door and let him in. And believer, since our Savior and friend is so meek and lowly of heart, then how easily is he grieved and offended by our indifference towards Him. He is of a tender heart. Oh, if the Savior was one who had a hard heart, then it wouldn't make any difference to Him how long she refused to open the door. But He is meek and tender of heart, and He was wounded when she wouldn't open the door, when she wouldn't put on her coat, when she wouldn't even put on her shoes to go to the door and admit Him. A coat and a pair of shoes kept her from her beloved. What is it? What is it that keeps us from our beloved? What is it? Something even perhaps of less value than a coat and a pair of shoes? What keeps us from close fellowship with our God and our Savior? How often have we offended Him? How often have we been reluctant to go and sit at His feet as Mary did, hearing His words? Our sloth, our slumbers, our slowness to respond to His tender voice surely has offended Him and grieved Him. Is that not something, dear child of God, we would all guard against? Grieving the Savior. Grieving the Lord. Not only do we have, in the appearance of the Beloved's hand, we have the sign. We also have the sight of the Beloved. The Beloved revealed Himself to His bride by putting His hand in by the hole of the door. And upon seeing His hand, she said, "My bowels were moved for Him." The knocking upon the door had not stirred her. The sound of His voice had not moved her. But the sight of His hand, that was all she needed to see. Just the sight of His hand moved her. The sight of His hand touched her heart. Why? Why was just the sight of His hand enough to move her? The answer, I believe, is found in chapter 2 of the Song of Solomon, verse 6. And there we read the bride speaking. She says, "His left hand is under my head, and His right hand doth embrace me." In other words, the hands of her beloved spoke to her of His love for her. She remembered that time when His hands had embraced her. She remembered through seeing His hand at the door how much He really loved her. And she remembered His once loving embrace. Dear believer, today, do the hands of Christ not speak to us of His love for you and me? Look closely at those hands. Look closely, dear child of God, today. Do you not see they're scarred? And both those hands are the marks of nails. What do those nail prints tell us? They tell us that the Lord Jesus loved us and He gave Himself for us. The hands of Christ speak to us of His love. I've told the story before of the mother who lifted up her young daughter and set her upon her knee. And as the child sat there, she began to stroke her mother's hair. And she says, "Mother, I love your hair. It's so beautiful." And then she began to stroke her mother's face. And she says, "Mother, I love your face. It's so beautiful." And then she looked at her mother's hands. And she says, "Mother, I don't like your hands because they are not beautiful at all." For you see, the mother's hands were all scarred. And then the mother began to tell the story behind her scarred hands. And she told her that when she was but a little child, she was lying in her cradle one night when a fire broke out in her room. The mother heard the child screaming, and the cot was engulfed in flames. And the mother reached in her hands through the fire, wrapped up her child, and took her out and took her to safety. Mother saved her. And then the little girl started again. Began to stroke her mother's hair and say, "Mother, I love your hair. It's so beautiful." And she stroked her mother's face. Said, "Mother, I love your face. It's so beautiful." And then she took her mother's hands and hers. And she said, "Mother, I love your hands most of all, because they're the hands that saved me." Those scarred hands spoke of love to that little girl. And surely the hands of Christ speak of His love for us. And when we look at those hands, can we still remain in that state of slumber? Can we remain so indifferent to the voice of our beloved? For do those hands not remind us of how much He loves us, how much He suffered for us, what He endured for us, and what He did for us? So you have the sign, the sight, and then you have the stirring. Once the bride saw the hand of her beloved, she said, "My bowels were moved for him." This first of all speaks to us of her feelings for her beloved. This phrase is expressive of her innermost feelings for her husband. Paul used this expression when telling of his love for the saints at Philippi. This is what he said. And of all of Paul's epistles, the epistle to the church at Philippi indicates to us how much Paul loved the saints at Philippi. And this is what he said in writing to them. He said, "For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." He was expressing his deep love for the saints at Philippi. And when the bride saw that hand of her beloved and it spoke to her of his love, she says, "My bowels were moved for him." She was expressing the depth of love she had for him. Her love has been kindled, rekindled. Her longing has been revived. There is nothing like a view of the wound of Christ, dear Christian, to awaken us from our slumbers and draw us to our beloved. Experience. Then I would advise you, look away to the cross. And behold the wound of Christ, and I guarantee that will stir your heart. It was when Joseph of Arimathea caught a glimpse of the wound of Christ that he could not keep his secret any longer. And he was drawn to the Savior. He was drawn to Christ, so much so that he was prepared to go into the very hall of Pilate. And we're told he begged the body of Jesus. That's what a view of the wound that Christ did for Joseph. It brought him to the place where he begged the body of Christ. Nicodemus, who in the past had only come to Christ under the cover of darkness, didn't want to be seen conversing with Jesus of Nazareth. That is, until Nicodemus had a view of the wound of Christ. And he came and joined Joseph of Arimathea. They both together took the body of Christ and anointed it and laid it in Joseph's own tomb. It was an examination of the wounds of Christ that banished the fears of a doubting disciple and made him fall at the feet of his Savior and cry, "My Lord and my God." That's what a view of the wound of Christ will do for a true child of God. It will awaken us. It will draw us to the Savior. And I would then exhort you, the exhortation would go to all today, look afresh to Christ. Look afresh to Calvary. Look at those wounds. Do they not tell you? Do they not tell you afresh? Do they not tell you again how much Jesus loves you? How then can you keep him standing outside the door? That view of the hand of her beloved. Speaks of her feelings for him when her bowels were moved for him. Notice also there in those words her focus. Not only her feelings, but her focus. She said there in that verse 4 that when he put in, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. Now, the beloved is the focus of her attention. She says, my bowels are moved for him. It's my beloved I want. What a change. Just before, she'd heard the knocking, she'd heard the voice, and she said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. When she heard the voice of the beloved say, open to me, she says, I put off my coat, how shall I put it on again? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them again and put on my shoes again? She made all these excuses, but that's all changed now. Now she wants him. Her bowels were moved for him. Her beloved and communion with him is all now that she desires. That's her whole focus. Once again, a view of those hands of love will change us as well. He was all that she wanted. Away with her bed of slumber, away with her excuses, away with her indifference. It is her beloved and him alone that she now seeks and is the focus of all her attention. Believer, how long has it been since Jesus Christ was the focus of your attention? How long has it been since you lived for Christ? How long has it been since you've been able to say with Paul, for to me to live is Christ? How long has it been since you've lingered with Christ? Since you've longed for Christ? Since you've looked for Christ? How long has it been? Look to him today. Look away to Calvary. See from his head his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? And is it not time then, believer, for you and us all of us to pray, where the whole realm of nature mine? That were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands yea, would we not change the word shall have my soul, my life, my all. The beloved revealed himself to his bride, and the beloved raised up his bride. After seeing the hand of her beloved at the door, the Shulamite is stirred from her slumbers, and we read in verse 5, I rose up to open to my beloved. I rose up. She had great difficulty in doing that before. She was reluctant to rise up and open to her beloved. But when she saw his hand, and that hand that spoke to her of his love, we're told she rose up. Here you have now her desire and longing for her beloved. For a whole night, it was the beloved who expressed his desire to meet with her. Now she wants to meet with him. Her rising up shows that once again she desires to be with him. Her desire for him, her longing to be with him, is her chief aim and her chief desire. And now once again, the beloved is her all in all. I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist. The psalmist said in Psalm 73 and verse 25, Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Can we say that? Can we be honest today with God? Because God knows our hearts. Can we honestly say today of the Lord Jesus, Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth. None upon earth that I desire beside thee. The beloved was now her all in all. He was her everything. She rose up and opened to her beloved. You have the demonstration of love for him. Before she opens the door to admit the beloved guest, she must prepare herself. And we are told in verse 5, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. This was a custom in the East, that when the man friend of the woman comes to her house, she will first of all anoint herself with myrrh or perfume, and that is an indication of her love for him. This is what the bride did. She anoints herself with myrrh. So much of it that it dropped off her hands onto the handles of the door. But do you know something? I believe she made a mistake. If you take the spice of the perfume myrrh, you can read about it in Exodus 30. It's the principal ingredient of the holy oil. What was the holy oil used for? It was used for anointing Aaron and the priests. The oil was used for anointing Aaron. And as the bride wanted to have expressed her love for her beloved, It wasn't herself she should have been anointing. She should have anointed her beloved. Because that is a deeper mark of love. You recall there in Luke chapter 7, when the Lord Jesus went into a certain house, a woman who had been saved by the grace of God heard the Lord was in the house. And we're told that she came in and she stood behind him and she anointed him. And then she wept and she wept and she wept. And she wept so profusely that she was able to wash the feet of the Savior. And the old Pharisee couldn't understand it. No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't know a thing about it. But the Lord explained it all to him. The Lord told Simon, I come into your house and you did not wash my feet. Yet this woman has washed my feet with her tears. Why is she weeping? She who hath been forgiven much loveth much. And so the anointing of Christ by that woman was a token of her love for him. She wanted to do something to express her love for her Savior. And so she anointed him with an alabaster box of ointment. And if this woman had wanted to express her love for her beloved, it was the beloved she should have anointed. But then, isn't that what we all do? When we're brought to realize we're following the Lord afar off. When we've been brought to realize we've grieved Him. When we're brought to realize that we've grown indifferent to Him. What do? The first thing we do is to try and improve ourselves. We say, I'll have to change. When really the first thing we should do is run to Christ. And He'll make the changes in us. Run to Him. Tell Him that we still love Him. Don't prepare yourself. Don't look to self. Look to the Savior. And come with your mirror. Anoint him. Come with the mirror of your love. You know what the wise men did? They came to Christ and they set at his feet gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Isn't that what Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus did? They brought precious ointments and they anointed the body of Christ before burial. And one of the ointments they brought was the ointment of myrrh. Bring your myrrh to Christ. Anoint him today. Tell him that you love him. That's why we sang that hymn this morning. My Jesus, I love thee. Oh, will we not say it in our hearts afresh this morning? My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures and follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, if ever I love thee, if ever I love thee, my Jesus is now. Notice closing her delay. We're told, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the Lock I opened to my beloved, but my beloved has withdrawn himself and was gone. Remember what we said? He had been grieved. He had been hurt. He had been offended. She had delayed responding to the knocking. She had delayed in responding to his voice. She had delayed in responding to the sight of his hand. She spent more time preparing herself. And by the time she got to the door, he was gone. That's a sad state of affairs. Anyone here today, who has a deep love for the Lord Jesus, and you're sensitive to the sweetness of his presence, will know what it's like to be without the conscious presence of Christ. That's a burden. Sometimes it's almost too much to bear. Remember how God, in testing Job, withdrew his presence? And there's poor Job. And we read that he cried out one day, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." He missed the Lord. Have you ever missed the Lord? When I'm away from home, I miss my wife, I miss my children and my grandchildren, I miss home, I miss my congregation. You ever miss the Lord? Today, if you hear his voice, don't delay. Don't delay. Run to the door and invite him in. Say, "Even so, come in, Lord Jesus. Come in and welcome." Next week, we'll look at the bride seeking her beloved. If God has spoken to your heart today and you've heard his voice, you've been for months perhaps in a state of spiritual slumber, rise up and open that door today and come and commune Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our most loving and our gracious God, praise thee for thy Son. Thank thee for the Lord Jesus. Lord, we must confess. And confess honestly today there have been those times when we've heard thee knocking. Lord, when we've heard thy sweet voice. But Lord, we've just been too lazy. There's been such indifference in our souls that we have not responded. But Lord, today we pray that thy people will respond to thy voice. O gracious Lord, write this word upon hearts. O Lord, may we take it home today. May we meditate upon it this Sabbath. O Lord, may we commune with our Savior. And may we be able to say there is none in heaven or upon earth that we desire more than our blessed, divine, beloved Christ. Praise His name. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. By Thy grace and providence, Lord, return us to this house tonight. In our dear Savior's name we pray. Amen.